Okay, the heating in the school officially goes on next week. So the temperature in here is 17.9 degrees centigrade. So that's officially cold enough to huddle up to the person next to you. So with no embarrassment at all, no embarrassment, you can just sort of edge next to the person, put your arm around them and try and get some warmth. So we're in faith for next week and some heat. I apologise to Dan, who's come all the way from sunny California, where the sun never sets, where it's a balmy 25 all year round. But it's a little bit nippy today. But I'm glad you got your jumper on, Dan. It's fantastic this morning to have Dan Snead with us. We were yesterday in the men's breakfast, we were trying to work out how many years Dan has been visiting us. And it was a long time ago. It was way back in the days of the Good News Crusade camps. Some of us used to go on those camps long time ago. And I remember Dan came on those camps, speaking on the camps, and so struck those of us on the camp. Asked if he'd kindly come and visit his little church in North London. And graciously, kindly, he came along. And we reckoned it was a long time ago yesterday. We couldn't quite put a date on it. Dan said I had hair at the time, so it was a long time ago. but anyway, I've lost some hair before, and the years have rolled by. But Dan kindly, wonderfully, has stayed in touch. And we've really been blessed as Dan's got a great ministry, a prophetic ministry, a teaching ministry, an encouraging ministry. And we really have been encouraged and blessed so much in previous. So we're really expecting, asking that God would work in a wonderful way today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing Dan amongst us today. And we pray your richest blessing upon him. Lord, that as he waters, that he himself would be watered. Lord, as he gives, that he would be given back to. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, Lord, we pray. We ask, Lord, today, would you anoint his lips? Would you fill him with your Holy Spirit? Would you take him, use him as your servant? We pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. A big warm round, a big warm hand. Dan Snead.
There you go, Dan. Good morning. I don't know why you're so cold. It doesn't seem cold at all to me. When Paul said that, I thought, what's happening? The Brits are strong, tough people. And here a wimpy Californian who's used to the sun, I don't find it cold at all. It's just kind of nice. So, and besides that, when it's a little chilly in here, people stay awake. And it's when it gets a little too warm, people find it easy to go to sleep. And so I'm glad there's a little chill in the air, so you won't even be tempted to go to sleep. It's always a privilege to be here, and I feel so much part of everything that I don't know. I wish I could put together. I need to work out how many years it's been. It was close to the time that Jesus was on the earth, and it's so. But there's been a lot of years and watching you, and many of you have been here all along, and watching what God has done, and it's just been an exciting journey for me. And one of the exciting parts of it is that I've developed wonderful friendships here, and that means a lot to me. Friendship relationship is extremely important to me. And so I feel very, very much at home. Enough that I can talk for several hours and just know that you love it. And I want to, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I guess it was, I was in Bulgaria. And I was there speaking at a gypsy pastor's retreat. And there were a number of pastors and their wives that, all gypsies, and had, their backgrounds, lots of hurt, lots of wounding, lots of rejection, and didn't fit. They didn't feel accepted in the country, and they were just kind of lost in many ways, which is kind of the story of the gypsies anyway. And so it was a huge honor and privilege to be able to be with them. And they were wonderful people. They're great people. Loved every minute of it. Simple, open, ready to go. And when they began to worship, it really happened. And so it was really a fun time. But one of the things that really touched me, we came to this, the man traveling with me is a pastor, and he was, so we had, were able to share together, and that was a, that worked out really well. But we had not really planned a theme. There was no theme for the retreat, and we had not really felt a particular direction. We just felt like God said, go, listen, be open. And because not having been with the group before, you really don't always know what their needs are. And so we want to be sensitive to that. So we came really open and kind of saying, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do with this group of people? And one of the first things that happened was there was just this strong sense that the theme should be something about encountering God. And, but, you know, how do you, we weren't sure just how that would work and if that was the right direction until a young pastor's wife came up to me and she said with tears running down her face, she said, I didn't want to be here. She said, I just didn't want to come. And there are a lot of things I need to do. And I just didn't want to sit and go through more meetings. I just didn't want to come. And she said, but my husband kept pushing me. Of course, her husband's a pastor, and pastors can be so pushy. And husbands can be so pushy. But anyway, so she got pushed twice, you know, husband and pastor. But so she said he just kept pushing and wanted me to come. But she said, honestly, I just kept resisting. And she said, the more he pushed, the more I kind of dug in and didn't really want to. And she said, but one night I had a dream. And she said, in this dream, there was this white spiky-haired man in the dream and a younger man with him. And they came to tell us about encountering God in a fresh way. And she said, when you stood up to speak, when they introduced you last night, you stood up to speak. She said, I looked at you and she said, I said to my husband, that's the man in my dream. She said, that is the exact man in my dream, which, you know, obviously got her attention pretty quickly. And this wasn't too much pizza before bedtime. This obviously had to be a God thing. And then a little bit later, when Scott, the pastor that was traveling with me, got up, she said, that's the man, the younger man that was with him. And so she was just totally into this. And she said, in the dream, you came to talk about a fresh encounter with God. And so, of course, how do you not go with that theme when you've had, you know, that kind of introduction to it? And so we just felt like that was the way we were to go. And so we did. And then on the last night of that retreat, we prayed for every individual, you know, personally, so it was quite a long thing, but God, we encountered God together, and it was an amazing experience, a little different than anything I've ever experienced before, but it was an incredibly powerful time, and I believe that God wants to encounter us in a fresh, new way. I believe that he wants us to encounter him in a fresh new way. Now, all of us have had some kind of experience with God. Some of you can talk about things that you've been through and experiences you've had with God that were very dramatic and powerful, and you remember them well. But maybe a lot of years have gone by, and there's a need for a fresh stirring up of something inside of you. And that was kind of what the theme of this retreat actually became. Because these, again, are all pastors, but they were at a point where they really needed a fresh encounter with God. And before the days were over with, there was an amazing touch of God's Spirit on that group. I started out of that to look back through the Bible and to look at the times that people encountered God. And, of course, it's over and over and over and over and over again. The Bible's full of stories of men and women encountering God. In the Old Testament, of course, there's Moses. And at 80 years old, there's the burning bush. And he goes over to see what this burning bush is all about. And that turned into an encounter with God. He met God at that place. There's Jacob, who was a deceiver, who had lived a pretty deceitful life, had in many ways had cheated and lied and connived. And Jacob meets God and has an encounter with him, and his thigh is kind of put out of joint, and God transforms him from a deceiver and changes his name to Israel, which means Prince with God. He had an encounter with God. There's the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. In the sixth chapter of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I had a vision. I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. And something happened that ended in God saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. See, he had an encounter with God. There's Peter and Andrew in the New Testament. They're fishermen. They're fishing, and Jesus just passes by, and really doesn't make an awful lot of sense when you think Jesus is just walking past them, and he turns to them and says, "Follow me." And immediately they get out of their boat and follow him. They had an encounter with Jesus. There was the Samaritan woman at the well who later said that he told me everything I had ever done. And she had an encounter with Jesus. There's Saul, who was a zealot, who everything he could do to destroy the church, hated Jesus, hated Christians, and whatever he could do to cause a problem, he caused it. But on the Damascus Road, there was that experience he had when the light shone and he kind of was knocked off the horse, and he had an encounter with Jesus that absolutely, completely transformed his life. See, there are, and we could go on and on and on with those encounters with Jesus. The disciples gathered in an upper room, and they're waiting because Jesus has been taken from them, and they know he's risen by now, but there's this sense inside them of what's next, where do we go from here? And that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they're filled with the Spirit. They have an encounter with God that absolutely transformed their lives. There's two things I've noticed when you look at these times that people encounter God. There seems to be two things that happen in every one of those situations. The first is, every time there's an encounter with God, your life is changed. When you look at Moses, his life was changed. Isaiah, his life was changed. Jacob, his life was changed. The disciples in the upper room, their life was changed. So an encounter with God changes our lives. I don't want to take time to go into the entire story, but when I was seven, I began my first church, 7 years old. And I knew at seven I was called to ministry. I had no questions about God's hand on my life. And I would get all the neighborhood kids in the backyard and tell them about Jesus. That was at seven. The next year, some things happened that absolutely turned my life around in a very, very negative way. And I went from this seven-year-old who could get all the neighborhood kids in the backyard. Once a month, I would tell them to bring their parents, and some of them would. And I would tell their parents about Jesus. And so at seven, I mean, I knew God's call on my life. But at eight, it was a whole different thing. I went from this seven-year-old getting all the kids in the backyard to tell them about Jesus. I went from that to a young eight-year-old who was afraid of my own shadow. Something happened that just literally locked me up where I was scared to death of people. Now, you know, I'm basically a people person. I love to be with people. But there was a lot of years there I was scared to death of people. I kind of thrive. People bring life to me. But there were all of my school years. School for me was as close to hell as I ever want to get. It was not a good experience. It all came out of some traumatic things that happened when I was 8 years old, and it stuck with me the rest of my school years until I went to Bible college, and I have no reason why I went there, really. Because, I mean, I couldn't hold a conversation with one individual. I couldn't do it. I was scared to death. I would do whatever it took to stay away from people. Well, how do you go into the ministry if you can't talk? How do you go into the ministry if you hate God? Because I did. I got to the point that I hated God because he made me this way. And I hated everything that I was. And I didn't see any reason that I was even alive. I could tell you stories of crying myself to sleep night after night because I was so lonely and so broken. I could tell you stories of writing notes to my parents telling them that I was going to kill myself. Now, obviously you understand I did not commit suicide. You know, that didn't happen. But my parents didn't even get the notes. But that's how bad it was inside. That's how broken I was inside. And then I went to Bible college, I think, because it was kind of expected. From the time I was 7 years old, everybody knew that Dan was called to ministry. And I knew it at seven, but at 17, a whole different story. I had a whole different experience with God at that point. I hated everything that I was, and I hated the God that made me this way. But I went to Bible college because I don't know what else I was going to do. I had no dream. I had no plan. I was so locked up. Then there came a point where I just decided, I'm done with this. This is stupid. You know, why be here? Why I can't do this. And I remember I was ready. I was done. I was going out of there. I was through. And I went down to check out, and I wanted to speak to the dean, and I don't know why. It's college. Just go home. I mean, what are they going to do about it? But I wanted to. Sometimes, you know, you've had a lot of rejection. You want to make sure that you do everything just right so that there's not more rejection. Well, I realize now that nobody ever really rejected me. I rejected myself. And once you reject yourself, you start, you know, everything you see through eyes of rejection. Well, I went down to the dean's office and asked if I could talk to the dean. And the secretary said, he's not in. He'll be back in an hour. Can you come back? And why I agreed to do that, I don't know, but I did. And I went back up to class. And in this class, there were probably, I don't know, 50, 75, 80 students in this class. And I mean, and again, I'd been there now for 6-8 months in the Bible school. And I had no friendship. I mean, I'm scared to death of people. And you know, I just, there was no relationships. I was just the guy there with the mask on that looked really holy, but down inside, I was a volcano ready to explode. Went back up to class, and the first thing they did was start worshiping. I hated it. I hated it. But I knew all the right buttons to push. And so I pushed the right buttons, and I got my godly mask on. And I got this kind of heavenly gaze in my eyes, and I could get, you know, I could even get a really good charismatic sway going in those days. I mean, I was really good at this. You know, sometimes I think the greater the pain, the better the masks that we wear. And I had some really good ones on. And I stick my mask up and I just start going through the motions because I don't want anybody to know what's going on inside of me. And in the middle of the song, I thought, this is crazy. I'll never do this again. I'm done. I will never do this again. And I dropped my hands. And when I did, the song just ended. And I thought, everybody in this room saw my hands come down. And everybody in this room staring at me. And they saw the mask come off. And they thought this holy guy, they looked, and now what they see is something completely different. And I just stood there with my eyes closed as tight as I could get them. I knew every eye in that room was on me. And then suddenly one of the students began to speak out a word that I would call from 1 Corinthians 12, a word of knowledge or a prophetic word, word of wisdom. And this was the word. Now, not a soul knew what I was planning, not even my dog. I mean, and I told my dog everything. She was my best friend. But I didn't tell her about this because I thought she would find a way to tell on me. And so nobody knew what I was going to do. And so this word came, and it was, you can leave here today like you planned to, and I'll go with you and bless you because I love you. Or you can stay, and I'll touch your life, I'll set you free, and I'll use your life to touch the lives of many other people. But you can leave as you plan to, and I'll go with you and bless you because I love you. I heard God say, I love you. That's what got me. It wasn't God saying, if you stay, I'll set you free. I didn't think that could work. I mean, that didn't move me at all. But God saying, if you go, I'm going with you. I'm going to bless you because I love you. You're mine. I love you. I heard God say, I love you. And suddenly I began to realize there were tears running down my face. It had been a long time since I cried. Sometimes there's just no more tears. Sometimes you just cried them all out. And I had gotten really hard inside and had these incredible masks. So on the outside, I was totally phony. And on the inside, I was crushed, broken, and hard. But these tears began to run down my face. I heard God say, I love you. I had an encounter with God that day that absolutely transformed my life. That began a process of walking out of all of the brokenness of my life. You see, I believe God wants to encounter people. I believe God wants, more than just coming to church and more than just doing the Christian thing. I believe God wants to invade our lives. That God wants to build relationship. That he wants to encounter us and get into the deep stuff of our lives, an encounter with God. I had an encounter with God that day that absolutely changed my life and began a process. See, it wasn't one of those zap experiences where I jumped up, ran up and grabbed the microphone, began preaching a great sermon. A lot of people question whether I can even do that now. But it was so real. I could take you back to the seat that I was sitting in. It was that real. I had an encounter with God, and then the process of walking out of all of the lockup and all of the brokenness, the healing that needed to take place, the lies that had dominated my thinking. Once you've been wounded and broken, there's usually a lot of lies that dominate your thinking. And the encounter with God is designed to break through those lies. I had an encounter with God that day. And things began to turn around in my life. You see, in all the stories of all these men and women that I just mentioned, when there was an encounter with God, it always changed them. Something happened in them, and their life was completely changed. The other thing I noticed is that not only was their life changed with an encounter with God, but there always was an assignment that God gave. Every time there was an assignment, Moses becomes the deliverer at 80 years old. Isaiah becomes, he says, here I am. When God says, who will I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah says, here I am, send me. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she said, he told me everything I ever did. And she began to spread word all around about what Jesus had done in her life. Paul, or Saul at that point, with the touch of Jesus, the encounter with Jesus, becomes the great apostle Paul. There was an assignment given to each one of them. So there's not only is there the encounter that changes our lives, but that encounter also brings an assignment. God has a purpose, one, to set you free so that you can become everything he wanted you to be. But he also has a dream and a plan and an assignment for you. And that assignment will always include touching the lives of other people. We encounter God, experience his touch, experience his freedom, so that we can become instruments of freedom in the lives of other people and see God touch their lives and set them free. See, an encounter with God always brings an assignment with it. I was a pastor probably, I don't know, maybe I'd only been pastoring 2 or 3 years, and had come to a place where I really wanted out of there. And we weren't doing very well. I came from a church that was in the U.S., a mega church, and we was the first church plant out of there. And so there was all this being said about, you know, art, because it's part of that, this is really going to boom and grow, and that isn't what happened. And I was incredibly discouraged and just decided that I was in the wrong place and the ministry wasn't for me. And I was over. I was done. You see, I also believe that there's a number of times that God wants to encounter us. It's not just the one time, but it seems like there are those periods where he says, now we need to have a face to face again. There needs to be a fresh touch here. And I was at a point, I just wanted out of this. I didn't want any more to do with it. I wanted out. Well, I decided that I was going to resign. I did not talk it over with my wife because I knew that if I did, she was going to, you know, she was going to talk me out of it. And I didn't want to be talked out of this. I wanted out. So, I mean, here, you think about it for a minute. This is a major life change and you're not even going to talk to your wife about it? No, because I knew what she would say. And I didn't want to hear it. I wanted out of there. So I wrote my letter of resignation. All ready to go. We had a board meeting. And again, my wife had no clue. And I got to the board meeting with my letter of resignation. I thought, you know, it's much easier when I get home from the board to tell my wife what's happened. It's, you know, I learned a long time ago, it's much easier to ask forgiveness than permission. And so I thought, well, I'll just, when I go home, I'll say I resigned. And I mean, she's not going to be happy. And she'll probably have a lot of things to say to me about it. But it's done. It's over. You know, so I am ready to go, and we're in the room. Actually, we met in the sanctuary because we just wanted to get up around the front and pray to begin. And while we're praying, a man came in the back door. And I look up, and I see him come through the door. He's a big black man, and he's wearing a three-piece suit. He looks like an American football player, you know, those really big guys. And I think he was 100 feet tall. I mean, he's just huge. And he walks in the back door, and I see him right away, of course. And because this little sanctuary isn't very big, I think we seat maybe 80, 100 people. And he walked in, and I thought, well, I need to go back to him, and I need to explain to him that this is not a public meeting. This is a board meeting. We're praying, and you know, basically, you know, you can't be here. And so as I approached this man, I remember the feeling that I had. It was really a weird feeling. It was just an eerie feeling when I got near him. And he said, as I walked up to him, he said, "Hi, Dan." And I thought, "I don't know you." And I said, "Have we met before?" And he said, "Well, yes, but probably not quite like this." And I said, "Well, I mean, just strange." So I said, what's your name? He said, "That's not important." "Who are you?" "That's not important." He said, "But what's important is this. Father sent me with a message. Don't quit. Don't resign. Don't give up. It's small now, but it will grow." And I mean, of course, he has my attention. I almost felt paralyzed. I mean, I wanted to reach out and touch him, but there was something inside of me that I couldn't move. I mean, it was like I wanted to, but I couldn't. And I thought, what? And I said to him again, I said, "Who are you?" And he said, "That's not important." And I, you know, "Where have we met?" And he said, "It's not important." He said, "What's important?" And he repeated the message. "I have a message from Father. Don't resign. Don't give up. Don't quit. It's small now, but it will grow." And with that, now all of these guys up front that were up there praying, they're aware, you know, again, I said the seat's about 80 people. So, I mean, you can hear a little bit of everything. And so they wonder what in the world's happening back here. And they all get up and start coming back to where I'm standing with this man. And as they get there, they hear him repeat that last part. "Don't quit, don't resign, don't give up. It's small now and it will grow." And at that point, he turned and pushed the doors open. There was two double doors that went into this little tiny entryway that was probably no bigger than from here to where you're sitting. So it was very small. and he pushed those doors open. We were right on his, we were right there. We wanted to know who this guy was. And so we were right there. And then he pushed the doors open that go out to the parking lot, and he was gone. We ran all over the place. There's no way in the world. I mean, he's big. I mean, there's no way in the world. I mean, he's a black guy with a kind of a beige tan suit on. I mean, you could see him everywhere, but he was gone. He was gone. We walked out and we looked, and he was gone. I have no questions in my mind that we had an encounter with an angel. I mean, you could not convince me otherwise. And again, I mean, everything is really small. So it isn't like there's this big thing that he could have ducked behind something. I mean, you got a big man in a small situation. Don't hide very well. And I'm convinced that he was an angel that God sent with a message. Now, that's the only way he would have known who I was. There's not a picture. There wasn't a picture in the lobby. This is the pastor. And hang, you know, we didn't have any of that stuff. It had to be somebody that God sent. And that encounter with God, see, again, another encounter with God. It was that that gave me hope to go on. It was that that gave me hope that, yes, it's small, it's hard, but the promise from God. I mean, when God sends an angel to talk to you, you just better pay some attention to it, especially if he's a big black football player type. I mean, you better listen to what he's got to say to you. I'll never forget that experience. Every once in a while, my mind will go back to it. And I, like I said, I have no questions. I encountered an angel that day. See, an encounter with God. Sometimes the encounter with God happens in some very natural ways. Sometimes it's far more supernatural. A lot of the things that God has done inside of me, there wasn't anything I could look at that I could see. Now, the experience I just told you about, it was very clear. I could look at him. I could see it. There was no question. All the people that were with me had no question. This was an angel. I mean, they heard what I heard, and then he disappeared. So they knew that it was an angel. Encounter with God. I believe God wants to encounter people. I believe God wants to encounter us. And in doing so, it changes our life, but it also brings an assignment. I knew from that moment on, when that man walked out the door, that there was no way I could quit. There was no way I could walk out. There was no way I could resign. I couldn't do it, because the assignment was, don't quit, don't give up. It's small. It will grow. See, those encounters with God that touch and change people's lives. I was in the Denver airport a while back, just a couple of years, maybe 3 years ago, and I'm in and out of the airport all the time. But I'm standing there. When I travel, I that's kind of where I like to shut down, because I'm with people all the time. And so when I get to the airport, it's like, okay, shut down. And so I'm not there looking for who I can talk to. Or, you know, terrible confession, but I'm not there looking for who I can witness to. And so I just want to get on the plane and go home. Well, I'm at the airport, and there was a thunderstorm. And so they would get us on the plane, and then because of the thunder cells all around us and the lightning strikes, they got us off the plane. And then they got us on the plane, and then got us off the plane. We'd been on and off the plane twice, and now we were headed for the third time. And I'd never had that happen before. And I'm standing, and there's this young man standing over here that caught my attention, and I couldn't quite get away from it. And I know that feeling, and everything inside of me said, no, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to, no. And I don't know him. He doesn't look like he would even understand an old man coming over and saying anything to him. No. And I knew the feeling that often comes when the Holy Spirit's ready to say, Dan, I want you to go talk to this guy. And I thought, maybe I'll take a walk, and then God will forget all about what he wanted me to do. And so I walked around, came back, and I'm having my little argument with God, and I'm really good at that. And I'm having this little argument with God. And finally, I say, okay, Lord, If he walks up to me and starts conversation, then I'll know it's you. And so, I mean, what's the chances of that? I get back there and get in line, and who gets in line right behind me and starts a conversation? He says, he starts talking about, this is really strange. I mean, they're going to get us on this plane for the third time, and are they going to get us off again? And so the conversation starts, and I've got this feeling of, okay, but I still don't do it. Lord, I don't want to do this. And so I didn't. And we get on the plane, and the guy gets up. I'm kind of seated more to the front, and he's a little further back. Gets up and comes to the toilet, and then he's coming by, and he looks right at me as he's coming by. And the Holy Spirit says, talk to him. And no, I mean, I'm not going to talk to somebody on the aisle of an airplane. I mean, that's not a good thing to do. I mean, it's, you know, I know, I can't do that. And so I don't. And then I go through this thing again. Okay, Lord, if when we land, he comes up to me again and starts a conversation, then I'll really know it's you. And so we get off the plane in this little airport, Durango, Colorado, and this little airport, and go into baggage claim. And I'm looking all around, and the guy's nowhere to be seen. And everything inside of me is saying, oh, yes, you know, yes. You know, it's, forgive me, Lord, for not being obedient, but yes, he's not here. And suddenly I look next to me, waiting for my luggage, and there he is. And on top of that, he turns to me and makes some comments about the luggage and starts a conversation. And I get this overwhelming feeling of, Dan, how many times do you want me to do this for you? And so I think, okay, I've got to. Now, I knew I had an idea because I'd been praying because I knew God was stirring something, but I was doing my best to get out of it. So I said to him, I said, you know, this is going to seem really strange. And I've learned that if you preface things that way, when it does seem strange, people receive it much better. I said, this is going to seem really strange, but I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. But I said, when we were back in Denver, I really felt like I was supposed to pray for you. And so when I'd see you, I've been praying for you. And he looked at me like, first of all, really strange, and just kind of stared at me. And I said, again, when I pray, this is what keeps coming to me. You've really, really messed your life up. And there's been one woman after the other, after the other, after the other. Most of them, one night here, one night there. And your family, you have alienated your entire family. And now you realize this is not general stuff. It's not like somebody here has a headache. You know, this is down to either you are right or you are wrong. And this guy's looking at me with his eyes this big. And the first thing he says to me, he said, who are you? And then he said, are you clairvoyant? And I said, no. And I said, I just prayed. I felt like I was supposed to pray for you. And when I prayed, this is what I felt I was to pray for. And by now, his tears are running down his face. And he's just, and they asked me about three times, who are you? What is this? And I didn't go into, well, I think this is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And I just said, I just prayed. And when I pray, this is what I was feeling to pray for. And so he just, again, what is this? Then he told me, he said, I'm here in Durango. He said, I live in Atlanta now, and I'm here to reconcile with my family. He said, I left home. My family are Christians. He said, I left home, and he said, my life has been exactly what you said. One woman after the other, after the other, after the other, and I just broke off all relationship with my family. I haven't really, up until just a few months ago, hadn't spoke to them in a couple of years, any of them. And I'm here. This is the first time I will have seen them in the last 3 years. And, of course, inside of me, there's this thing going, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I was waiting for him to say, are you a lunatic? I mean, none of that ever happened to me. And then I said, you know, this is going to seem even a little bit stranger. And I said, have you ever thought that one day you might be a pastor? And he looked at me, and I thought, now he's going to just totally think I'm nuts. and again, what, who are you? What is this? I don't understand. How do you know these things? And I said, well, when I pray, it just, you know. And he said, he went to a church in Atlanta, and he said, I've been there now. I came back to the Lord, and I've been there now for almost a year. And he said, they just, before I left, asked me if I would consider being on one of the pastoral teams and start studying towards pastoral ministry. And I'm debating on whether that's the right thing for me to do or not. And then here comes this, have you ever thought about being a pastor? From someone that has absolutely no idea. See, an encounter with God. And the reason I tell you that story is because God wants to encounter us and change our lives. But then he wants to make us instruments of encounter. Now, it may not be quite that dramatic, but there's ways that God wants us to encounter people. He'll always give you an assignment. Maybe that assignment is just to pray for someone. You know, I think there's an assignment on this church body. And the assignment, this may be a time that the assignment is beginning to grow with a fresh encounter with Jesus. I think there's something fresh and new. Everything here is wonderful. I mean, I don't look around and think there's a problem anywhere. It's just wonderful. But I think there's a time of fresh encounter that God wants to bring. And with that fresh encounter, there'll be changes in our lives. Some of us, you know, I knew the Lord. I walked with the Lord, even though I was scared to death. And I had all this love-hate stuff going on inside of me. But he wanted me to have a encounter with him that would change my life. And then came the assignment. There's people to touch. If you stay, I'll touch you. I'll set you free. I'll use your life to touch the lives of many others. See, there's always that assignment. I think there's an assignment on your life, but I believe God wants to bring a fresh encounter. That it's not just going through the motions. It's an encounter with God that brings you into a whole new season, a whole new time. And that encounter will always include the assignment that God has for you, that in one way or another will be touching the lives of other people, that they can have an encounter with Jesus. Is it possible that in getting to know you, there are people around here that will have an encounter with Jesus? I think so. It seems like God has always chosen to work through people. As difficult as we can be, it seems like he always chooses to work through people. So encounter with Jesus changes our life and assigns us to new areas of release and fulfillment in touching the lives of other people. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember, Lord, that face of that gypsy pastor's wife. With tears running down her face, she said, I've encountered God here. Something happened when I didn't even want to be here. And she said, something changed. Something changed. And Lord, I ask that in each of our lives that there will be a fresh encounter with you. Lord, I find myself often praying. Especially I pray this for a young generation, that they'll have an experience with you that they will never be able to forget or get away from. With all the stuff that happens in life, an experience that they will never be able to forget or get away from. And Lord, I ask that today for this body of people, that there will be a fresh encounter, that there will be a fresh experience with you that is so strong, that is so real, that they will never be the same again. They will never be able to get past the moment of that encounter with you. And Lord, out of that encounter, if it follows the pattern of the New Testament, the Old Testament actually, the encounter always, always, always led to an assignment. And so Lord, I'm asking for a fresh encounter with you so that my life be changed even more. There's things that I still need to let you speak into in my life, and I want you to do it. I want to encounter you at the point of my need. But I also want to be open to the assignment that you have, that I can become an instrument of encounter in the lives of other people, that somehow you can take the brokenness of my life, you can take the lack of this and the lack of that, because I have a lot of those lacks, but somehow you're bigger than all of that, and you take just ordinary people, you touch them, and then you use them to be instruments of encounter for other people. And so, Lord, I want to be that, and I believe that's where the heart of New Life Fellowship is. A place of encounter. Ordinary people, having had an encounter with Jesus, now become the instruments of encounter with the people all around us. Lord, will you let that happen? Will you let that happen? Well, you're just praying for a minute. I don't want you to respond just to make the speaker feel good. Because I think God has something more than that in mind. If you feel like you need a fresh encounter with God, can you just stand where you are? And all you're saying is, I need a fresh encounter. I need a fresh touch of His Spirit. I need a fresh something to happen inside me. And in standing, are you available for that? Are you available for that fresh touch? Lord, you see these that are standing. You see each one of them. You know where they are. You know what they're experiencing. You know what area that encounter needs to happen in. And Lord, I ask that there will be a fresh encounter with you that takes place in each one of these lives, where they will never be able to forget what you have done. That they will never be the same again. Like Moses, like Jacob, like Isaiah, like Andrew and Peter, like the woman at the well, like Saul. An encounter with you that changes us and then assigns us to a new level of release and ministry in our lives. And Lord, I ask that you'll do that in each one in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that this, not because it's me, but that this moment will not be quickly forgotten. That we won't just say, oh, that really touched me, but that we will take it very seriously, that you want to bring a fresh encounter to our lives. And Lord, that we're open to that. We're open to that. Lord, will you do that in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. You say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Let's remain standing. Let's all of us stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's just wait in the presence of Jesus. Just opening our hearts the best we can to Him. Lovely words in Hebrews 3. It says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Him. Let's just do that together this morning. Fixing our thoughts on Him. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. In this time we've got this morning before the kids come back in, just to keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus, to keep our hearts, to worship him, to love him, to be encountering him. I feel particularly this morning for any of the teenagers and those in their 20s, just to feel in my heart that God has something, I know, for all of us. But if you're a teenager or you're in your 20s and you've just felt that something Dan has shared this morning has touched your heart, and you feel, yeah, there's something stirred, and you'd like Dan to pray for you this morning, then if you'd want to come down the front and just stand down here, I'm going to ask if Dan would pray for you individually, just to pray a blessing over you. So if you're in your 20s or you're in your teens and you've just felt something Dan's said this morning has touched you, then just slip out of your seat, come and stand down the front here just for a moment. Just ask Dan if you just come and listen. Thank you.
Time this morning to put those things down. And Nick was praying about giving God our full attention this morning. And I was thinking about that lovely passage in Hebrews, if I can find it, where it talks about the fact that we can come into God's presence this morning. We can come into that holy place this morning, into the very presence of God through the blood of Jesus. And there isn't a place this morning that we need to, you know, we can leave all our stuff, if you like, at the door, and just come in to God's presence this morning, in a sense, empty-handed, and give him our attention, focus upon him. Let's stand, shall we? Let's commit this time to him. Lord Jesus, we so thank you that this morning we, your people, we're not invited just into this strange concrete hall, Lord. We're invited into the Holy of Holies by your precious blood this morning, into your very presence. And Lord, we pray, would you help us this morning just to lay aside those things that would distract us, those things that maybe have burdened us and worried us and concerned us during the week, and even this morning, Lord. Help us to lay those things aside and gaze into your face this morning, Lord Jesus, knowing that we are beloved of yours, that the price you paid to make a way for us to come into your presence this morning proves beyond any doubt at all the reality of your love for us, Lord Jesus. And so we come this morning, Lord, we come. We ask you to help us, Lord, to really worship you, to really love you, to allow you to do in us what you want to do, Lord Jesus. Would you come, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. We're beginning this morning with a song about coming into God's presence, giving him glory. What else could we do but to give him glory for all that he's done, for making this way for us, his people, to come into his presence? Thank you, Jesus. Sharing yesterday with the men, who was talking about building relationships between men and the need to create a safe environment where people can be honest, where there's authenticity in terms of relationship. And as we were worshiping, it struck me that there's no safer place than God's love, and there's no safer way, there's no other way into that relationship with God but by this amazing sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. And this is a safe, God's presence, God's love is a safe place for us. It's not always a comfortable place, because God's at work in our hearts and our lives, isn't it? It's not always comfortable, but it's a safe place. Pat's got something he'd like to share with us, testimony.
Good morning. A couple of weeks ago, I was praying with someone from church. I'm not going to mention their name because I don't want to embarrass them. Alan Green. I was praying about work, looking for work and finding work. And I asked them in and prayed that morning. I found work for that week. And I just want to say, what I'm trying to say, that God's a faithful God. We should trust him. That he has the answers for us. Amen. And I believe that. I believe prayer is the answer. And if you've got something that's on your mind this morning, just hand it to God. Go and pray with someone.
Amen.
And I'll just thank Jesus. So he has the answers. He's put me in this position to look for work. And I've formed other contacts through it as well. And I just want to thank God this morning for that. Thank you.
We're going to take the offering now. If you're a visitor, please don't feel under any obligation to give. If you're a taxpayer and would like us to have the tax back, then there are envelopes at the back you can fill in and pop your offering in there. So let's continue to worship.
Fantastic, fantastic. One, if you grab a seat, please. One, if you grab a seat. Big welcome if you're visiting or you're new. Welcome to New Life. It's just great to be here this morning. I just got Dan and Liz at the front because there's something that they want to tell you. there's a little confession they've got to make. Something. Dan asked the question. It was a very significant question. Dan, tell us the story.
So obviously she broke both her wrists. So I knew she couldn't escape, right? So we were on holiday in Spain. I just thought it was time. We went into the sea, got down on both knees, sort of like this. And then I said, "Are you going to marry me?" And then she said,
"Are you serious?"
And I said, "Yeah, are you going to marry me?"
It was, "Are you serious?" again. I think it was four times.
And I said, "Yes."
Said yes.
And then I went to the beach and did it the conventional way, where you, like, "Will you marry me?" on one knee. And she said, "Yes." So that's it.
Fantastic, fantastic. So we're looking forward to September, I believe, next year. That's the fantastic. Looking forward to a lovely September. Wonderful. I wonder if Ed, where's Ed and Laura? Can you come around? And we're saying goodbye to Ed and Laura today. They're off. Give them a big warm round. They're off. They're leaving this fair city. Heading into the beautiful countryside. But we'll miss them very much. Joe, I wonder if Joe could come down a minute, because Joe, we just want to appreciate particularly Ed and Laura with the children. Particularly Ed spent a lot of time investing in you and the young people here, and we just thought it'd be good just to appreciate, we do appreciate you, but Joe's got a few words of appreciation.
Completely had living this. Yes, I didn't know that Bromley was the fair countryside, but there we go. It is South London. So North London's loss is South London's gain. I personally feel very sad about this. I know we've had to get used to saying goodbye to people, but you guys have meant an awful lot to us, and particularly the work that you've done among the teenagers and also among the children. And behind the scenes, they've done an awful lot that others don't know about. And we just wanted to massively thank you. So we're going to go down the line of the immortal words of Dr. Deuce, almost immortal words, where he said, "We won't cry because it's over, but we'll smile because it happened." So there we go. That's from Amy, who quoted that at her speech. That's about it.
Fantastic, fantastic. I wonder if Nick and Bob can come. We're going to pray. We'd like just to pray a blessing upon you as you move to fairer climes. To the warmth of balmy Bromley. Let's stretch out our hands of blessing towards this couple, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you are the God who controls the destiny of our lives. And thank you as we read in Book of Acts, chapter 17, that you determine the exact time and place that men and women should live. And we want to ask, Lord, as Ed and Laura moving to Bromley, Lord, would you bless them? Would you go ahead of them? Would you provide for them? Would you make a way for this new season? And we just want to say thank you so much for the sacrifice, the effort, the care, the time that they have invested in this church, and particularly in the young people in this church. I want to say a massive thank you to them and ask God, would you give back as they have given? Would you give back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over?
Thank you, Jesus. I just felt God saying that he has made a way for you, but also that he is the way for you. And just, I guess, a reminder and encouragement to just make him your everything, really, because he is the way, in as much as even as he's made a way, he also is the way. And Lord, I just want to so pray for Ed and Laura, Lord, just that this would be the beginning of a fresh and fruitful season for them, Lord. Jesus, that this will be a place of planting and a place of calling for them, Lord Jesus, and a place of fruitfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, I just echo that prayer, Lord, and just ask that you would really guide them as they move to Bromley. We pray you would knit them into your people there, and that you will cause their work to be fruitful, Lord. Thank you for all that's been done, all the friendships, the relationships, the planning, the preparation, the time spent with the young people. Father, thank you. All the sausages cooked and the generosity, Lord. And we pray that you would continue to work in their lives, in them and through them.
I hadn't planned on saying anything, but it can't shut me up. It's been a brilliant church, and we've only been here a short while, relatively. I say that, but it's been 5 years or so for me, and a bit less for Laura. But it's such a blessed community, and you probably don't realise it here. There's so much good stuff going on in this church, and I'd like to pop in now and again in the future and just check up on you and make sure you're doing okay still.
I just want to say thank you, especially to everyone this year who I was quite sick. So I just want to thank everybody for the support and the prayers they gave to Ed and me.
Thank you. Let's give them a warm round, shall we? Well done. Fantastic. Fantastic. Lovely, lovely. We love birthdays. And there's nothing more special than the first birthday. And so Cleo and Craig would love us to celebrate with them Zara's first birthday. So here she is. Give a big warm round. Oh, making an entrance down the stairs. They do things in style, this couple, don't they? I mean, look at this for an entrance. We've never had an entrance like that before. Fantastic. Oh, here she is. Hello, Zara. Oh, well, we get a wave. We give a wave. Craig, how do you feel on this big occasion?
Tired. No, I feel a bit emotional, actually. I want to start by saying thank you to church. We've been here coming up to 2 years now, but we've always been touched by the warmth and love that we've been shown in that time. And I know, particularly since Zara was born, we're often the last ones here and the first one to leave. But that shouldn't mask the gratitude that we have for you all and what you give to us. And that was none more so than 13 months ago when the ladies got together and hosted a baby shower for Cleo and, as then, an unborn Zara. And we were really, really touched by that. But it is crazy to think that was 13 months ago. And our lives have changed, of course, so much in that time. She's a fantastic blessing every single day, and a challenge too. Becoming a first parent, as many of you all know, is a big challenge. But it's been a great reminder of the need to trust in God, not just for the challenge of getting through the tiredness, but actually the challenge of raising a parent and thinking how she'll be influenced and all the decisions you need to make, and just knowing that, or wanting her to know God's love as we do. So it's a great opportunity today to dedicate her, to say thank you to God, to ask for his guidance and protection over her, and say thank you to you, because we know you will be praying that she gets that and she knows God's love. So thank you again, and thank you to God for all that he's done for us.
I guess I wanted to say, I mean, there's so much that we've learnt there's so much surreal steep learning curve the last year. But one thing that's recently kind of struck me is that we quite often say to each other, like, what have we done to deserve this baby? She brings so much to our life. She's wonderful. We just love her so much. But I think it's kind of maybe a lesson from God in a very simple way, in grace, that it's not really about, when it comes to God, it's not really about what we deserve or don't deserve, because God is just love, and it's just about love. So she's just a blessing to us and a reminder that we just have to love like he loves.
Before we pray, we got a little cake. So do you want, if you do the honours? So as we sing happy birthday to Zara, you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Zara. Happy birthday to you. Fantastic, fantastic. Nick and Bob can come.
Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have done for us. Sorry when we turn away and don't acknowledge all the wonderful things that you have done for us. Thank you for the great gift of creation in Zara. Thank you for the real blessing that she has been to us already and will be into the future. Thank you that your guiding hand is over her. Thank you that you love her and have foreseen her life ahead of her. And we pray that you will continue to bless her, continue to guide her and protect her. And we pray so much that she will grow to know your great love and grace for her.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the gift of life. And thank you for this family, Lord. And we want to ask, Lord, for your protection upon them as a family. We pray, Lord, your blessing. We pray for health. We pray, would you cover, guard, and keep them. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for the future, for the days, months, years that lie ahead. And we ask, Lord, would you lead? Would you guide? Lord, would you make a way, even where there is no way? And Lord, as we look ahead, we look with eyes of faith. And we say, Heavenly Father, would you provide, would you protect, would you bless, would your will be done, would your kingdom come? That's our request today as we stand with this family. We're praying, Lord, for your will and your kingdom. Mighty God, Heavenly Father, would you guard over their lives, watch them and keep them?
Yes, Lord, as we pray you would give them as parents the ability to keep on giving her to you, Lord, that you might in turn pour out your goodness and your spirit upon her, Lord. We pray for great wisdom, Lord, in raising her, Father, to be a child that glorifies you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, even as we pray for Zara, Lord Jesus, we pray also for Claire and Craig, Lord, and just thank you for, Lord, I know for Vicky and I, Lord, you've taught us so much through our children, Lord Jesus. From the day they were born, you've taught us so much, Lord, and you continue to teach us. And so just so pray for this glorious, divine sort of training, Lord, that Cleo and Craig have begun, Lord Jesus, with Zara, Lord. And we pray, would you bless this, Lord Jesus? Would you help them to be responsive, Lord, and aware where you're at work in this family, Lord Jesus, where you're teaching, where you're training, where you're helping, Lord Jesus. And again, Lord, we confess, Lord, as I'm sure any parent would, Lord, we need you so much. We need you so much, Lord God. Lord, in this great privilege of bringing up children, Lord. And so we pray for Claire and Craig, Lord, that they would know you, Lord, in this amazing privilege as parents, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's give a big warm round. Well done, guys. Well done. Well done. Do you know what? The birthdays keep rolling. It's Mr. James Bissell's birthday. Give him a big round. Come on down, James. Come on down, James. Let's not be shy. Now, the years keep rolling by. Now, we're not going to embarrass you, James, by saying you're 19. Oh, sorry. Sorry, James, that just slipped out. but so we just wanted to wish you a fantastic, happy 19th birthday. Is anyone else's birthday this actual day? Anyone else here? No. There you go. You're fantastic, fantastic. And I've got a little coffee here. And we've got a cake that's just about to come. So as we sing Happy Birthday, this cake's going to miraculously make its way to the front. So actually, while we're waiting, James, tell us. James has got a great testimony of what happened this week. He was at university for his first week at university, and he was waiting in between lectures, and God gave the opportunity to talk to a young lady. What happened? Tell us what happened. No, it's not that kind of thing. No. Just because we had an engagement, it wasn't that. It was a spiritual opportunity, James.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I finished my lecture. It was Thursday, and it was in the evening, so it was about. So I finished about 4. I signed up to go to the Christian Union later on, which was at 6, and I was really excited for it. And I was waiting for it to happen. But I had 2 hours, 2 hours of just nothing. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to sit on this sofa over here. So went and sat down, tried to like kill time and make it go as fast as possible. But what happened was is that. On behind me was there was a woman, and she was quite older than me, and she told me she was looking to go to a Christian like service, like a proper service, back in on like another campus, but it was really far away, and she had like 10-15 minutes to get there. So she told me she was a Muslim from Pakistan, and so I said to her, well, you know, why don't you come on over to the Christian Union? I'm going over, you know, we can go both walk over the bridge and go and see what it's about. So she said, yeah. So we walked over, and we got to, you know, they're really friendly people over the Strand campus, and, you know, so welcoming, and, you know, it's just a great environment and a really good introduction for how I felt. Anyway, so we did the Christian Union, we listened to the guy talk, you know, sang worship songs, read the Bible, afterwards I was a bit like unsure as to whether it might be a bit full on for her, because you know, that's what like people do on a Sunday. I thought like maybe it might be a bit too quick, like, because she wasn't Christian, but anyway, afterwards I asked her if she liked it, and she said that she loved it, she started to cry, and then she started. She said that there was a point in the talk that really touched her life, and about something about like grace in your mistakes, something like that. But it was amazing. So, you know, I gave her a hug and took her number. And next week, I think she's coming back. And you know, I just felt as if it was really encouraging. And I felt, you know, like God was there on that day throughout that time, and you know, only afterwards did I realise I was being used by God.
Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear James. Happy birthday to you. Yes, 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 yes. Whoa, fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Well done, well done. Great, the children are going to make a move now. Teenagers are staying in. Children are going to make a move. And babies, preschool and children, flame out the door. And teenagers are staying in.